since we're already started. Okay, so with that in mind, let's go ahead and get started. Let's see. On the wiki page that I'm showing you right now, I've dropped a link into the group chat. If you'd like to log in and put your name on the attendee list, that would be great. That helps us keep track of who's attending and from where, and helps us maybe reach out to you at some future time should the need arise. All right, let's see. Let me turn that on. Okay, any announcements? I do know that the Hyperledger conference is going on next week. Anybody have any information on that?
The conference is next week.
Okay.
We'll be going. There's a bunch of, I know there's a number of us in the Aries community going. There's a couple of workshops that that BCGov and Sovereign are presenting. So lots of stuff around Aries next week. Another announcement, one's related to product, so I'll wait till we get to that part of it. But there'll be a new course on Aries for developers coming out next week, which we're excited about. This is what part of the work I do on my on the side, and so we put together a course that was released last November about Aries, more from a business higher level perspective. This one is aimed at developers and contains a large number of labs and things for developers to get up to speed.
Excellent. I guess we'll talk about that as we get to that section, but I presume there'll be a link for people to follow to join that.
Yes. Hyperledger / Linux Foundation are announcing it next week, so they'll provide the details there.
Okay. Now, I heard rumor that at the conference next week there might be a group of Aries participants wanting to get together. Are you coordinating that anywhere? Rocket Chat, anywhere?
I had not done that. That's a really good idea, though. We should be doing that. So maybe we'll take that to the Aries channel and figure out who's going.
Okay. All righty.
I've heard that Stephen is really interested in hugging a cactus, so the group should get together and make sure that happens.
I believe that was Richard.
Oh, it was Richard. I'm sorry for accusing you of that, Stephen.
Yeah.
Richard needs help hugging a cactus. Yeah.
Excellent. So we can look forward to something probably in the Aries channel of Rocket Chat. Unfortunately, I won't be in attendance at this one, but I am planning on attending IIW that is coming up end of April, beginning of May timeframe. So that conference, for those of you who have not been, is where everything identity seems to happen, and I highly encourage you attending that. Internet Identity Workshop is the conference. Okay, any other announcements before
This is Kelly. I put in the chat the two guardianship working group meetings. One is APAC, which takes place on Thursday night or Friday morning, depending upon where you live, and the second is the Americas version of the same meeting.
Okay. Thank you for putting those in there. I will add those to the announcements. It's hard to type and talk at the same time, so I'll get those added in there as we go on. All right. Any other announcements?
On the attendance, you sent the link to this agenda, and you want us to add under Daniel and Matt's name, each of us add our names as attendees, but this does not appear to be a writable file. Did I miss something?
Let's see.
You need a, so the only requirement is a Linux Foundation ID, which is a free and ID open to anyone. So I think if you go to, the login page, you can register. So it's their, it's the Jira, no, not Jira, the other one.
Confluence.
Anyway, site Confluence. That's the one. Thanks, Kelly. Site. So that's how you get in. That also gets you into the Jira that Hyperledger has.
Also, if you're at a place where you can't readily do that, put your name in chat, and I'm at my desk. I'll add you in.
Okay, thanks, folks. Yes, sorry for the interruption. Yep.
All right, thank you. Yeah, it would be neat. Maybe we'll add a some instruction to this page so that as new people come along, it's a little more clear how they log in. All right, so let's move on to the working group reports. Anyone attend the main identity working group this week?
This week, the identity working group talked a little bit about the presentation that Cameron gave the previous week. And then they're talking a little bit more again about the transnational, what's happening transnationally in India, et cetera. And so I noticed that I was in and out of the meeting because I was in another meeting at the same time and there are no minutes, but I will go ahead and listen to the audio today and add minutes there. So there are currently robust conversations happening in the identity working group and it's quite interesting. I know that with all groups, we have occasional ebbs and flows, but I highly recommend that there's a lot of great conversations happening in the identity working group at this time. And the audio and video links are there. And as noted earlier, I will add as late as this weekend, but hopefully today I'll add some more detailed minutes.
Is that the Wednesday call that happens?
Yes.
Last week it happened. Okay.
It's every other Wednesday. It's in the off weeks from this call.
Excellent. So what kind of things are happening in India that we should be aware of?
One of the things that's really interesting is just the idea of doing what we do a billion times. And so a lot of the conversation around India involves scalability. It also involves when you have a billion people, it brings in third-party providers because who can really manage a billion? And so when the third-party providers come in, then how is identity protected? So it kind of isn't. And so one of the ideas is that we tend to be thinking about identity from a US perspective. And by looking at it from an India perspective, where there are different issues with the banked and unbanked, with the ability to read and write or not to read and write, and the dependence on trusted third-party providers, it really provides interesting kind of challenges and ideas for the way that other architectures are set up or might be set up.
Yeah, that's a big problem, scalability and interoperability amongst different providers. One of the things that's impressed me about the ARIES effort is the concentration on interoperability between providers and different chains and so forth. And so,
and part of the philosophical idea is if I go to my doctor and my doctor uses a third-party provider, and then I get access as well through a wallet, then what is the third-party provider in order to keep its security intact? What is it that they're able to access or not access? So it's really not a one-to-one relationship any longer.
Definitely so. All right, thank you for that overview. We'll get those links added into the meeting minutes here. Anybody attend the Hyperledger Indie Working Groups this week?
I was there for the contributors meeting. These are the Indies. Yeah, the contributors meeting basically talked a bunch on, I think they're there. The process of breaking up the Indie SDK, so we've got Indie VDR, which was contributed to Hyperledger this week. BC Gov did the work on that, and now it's available for anyone to look at. Work has begun on IndyCredX, which is basically a wrapper around Ursa and OnCreds and the interactions with for OnCreds for verifiable credentials based on zero knowledge proofs. So that work has begun. There's also work on a thing called AriesCredX, and those two we'll see where the line is between those. The feeling in the group was let's leave IndyCredX to be the Indy implementation of verifiable credentials. The Aries CredX would be more about doing credential exchange across multiple implementations of verifiable credentials. So that work has begun as well. And then there's also an effort on Aries KMS, so the key management service that we've talked a lot about. So work is going on in that area. So those all sort of combined in there. It does sort of cross the boundary between Indy and Aries. There was also a second meeting this week about Indy on managing and maintaining Indy nodes. So if you are charged with operationally operating Indy nodes, here's guidelines and help of how to do that, how to troubleshoot things, how to extend, you know, add new nodes to the to a network and so on. And notes and recordings are available. There's no dash with CredX. It's just CredX.
Okay.
There we go.
Case like that?
No, all lowercase.
Just all lowercase. Okay.
Yeah, these are repo names. These are repo names. So okay. There you go.
This is Roland from Aristide. May I ask for a question, please?
Yeah, sure.
About IRIS-CREDX, please?
Yep.
As far as I understood, IRIS-CREDX was a possible credential across multiple implementation. Is it correct?
The goal of Aries is to do that. So because Aries evolved... So the actual goal of Aries is to say we can be underlying ledger agnostic and credential exchange model agnostic. At this point, the state of the world is that one of the Aries libraries, the Go framework, has implemented exchange with JOTS and with JSON LD. The other Aries components have just built on the Indy side of it, so they haven't, and we don't have a shared element that allows us to do easily do credentials across multiple networks. So that's work still going on. So most of the libraries and most of the production work that we've seen that we're aware of, in fact, all of the production work that we're aware of all involves Aries agents using Indy, the Indy ledger, usually Sovereign, and ZKP based verifiable credentials, Indy verifiable credentials. So that's where we are today. Does that answer the question?
Yes, you answered the question. Thank you so much.
Okay.
So I have another question. This is very new. So is Aries, my understanding is Aries is about DITCOM, communicating across agents. So are you contemplating actually doing the verifications and credential issue and all that within Aries?
Yes. So the way Aries works is at its core is DITCOM, as you mentioned. So Aries at its core is messaging. And being able to message between agents, whether those be enterprise agents, mobile agents, devices, various things. But that provides you messaging. But on top of the messaging, we have a large number of protocols that are being defined. And those protocols allow higher level interactions, Obvious one is how do you create a connection between two agents? So that's the core one. That doesn't require any ledger, just uses DIDCOM. But you have other protocols that do issuing a credential. So one party would issue a credential to another. You have other protocol for doing a proof, a presentation of credentials. So proving that you have credentials and that they were signed by the issuing party and so on. So an Aries agent encapsulates both the underlying messaging protocols, but mechanisms, but also these higher level protocols and verifiable credential exchange and verifiable presentations is one set, but there's a large number of other mechanisms that are being added as well. So things like two agents are, one agent is connected to two others and that agent wants to introduce the two agents to each other. So say you have a client of a bank and the bank also has a relationship with a financial management company and the bank wants to introduce those two so that perhaps they can carry on business in the future. So that's another example just off the top of my head of where additional protocols come in. And so Aries has a number of protocols for different types of interaction, but largely based around verifiable credentials because that enables the trust foundation. So, does that help?
Yeah, it does. The question I have, what I was thinking is basically today, Aries uses Indy as an underlying wallet, to provide underlying wallet and ledger both, right? So even the credentials, the credential proving mechanism is Indy specific.
That is for some of them. As they say, the Go library took a different approach. They wanted a pure Golang. So there, the Aries Go framework Go does not use any Indy or Ursa technology at all. It uses, so it still talks DIDCOM, it still supports the same protocols, but the verifiable credential exchange, for example, is done with other than Indy, with non-Indy verifiable credential models.
So you're going to implement something specific to Aries, or are you saying that it's going to be general that can or other people can use?
So the long-term goal is that it be that there be shared libraries. So for example, you mentioned the Indy wallet. The Indy wallet definitely will go away and there will be an Aries wallet. So there will be an Aries KMS, as we talked about, key management service, as well as Aries storage for other, you know, credentials and other things like that. That will definitely move out of Indy into Aries. Indy will remain there as one of the providers of, for example, DIDs and verifiable credential exchange, but there will be other credentials available across other Aries implementations that allow, W3C spec verifiable credential exchange.
Okay. No, I was just, I'm just wondering if DIDCOM itself doesn't have to understand the message content, right? So this is basically a layer that
exactly
you're putting on top of DIDCOM, right?
Okay. Absolutely. Yes. Well, DIDCOM itself has, doesn't understand, it doesn't need to. It conveys the messages. The messages at the higher level implement the protocols for, credential exchange and so on.
Okay, thanks for that.
One of the comments earlier, can I just riff on one other thing that was said earlier, which was this, Aries is not mature and so focusing on Indy for now, but Aries later. But Aries really encapsulates Indy. So you really are, if you're interested in working in the Aries space, you really should be building on Hyperledger Aries, even though it is considered in incubation, because all of the work for interacting between them is happening in Aries. So if you want to interact across, with other organizations, if you want interoperability, if you want standard ways of conveying credentials and proving credentials, it's at the Aries level that you ought to be working.
I have another question. I mean, it's made it more of what the question I have. Sorry.
Steve, do you, this is getting out of, I'm just wondering, I'm fine. I love talking about this, so I'm glad to, but I'm a little worried we're falling off agenda. And
okay.
Yeah.
Feel free to reach out on the Aries channel. I'm on Rocket Chat all the time, and a bunch of other people here can help with the questions. So glad to.
Yeah, definitely. There's a couple of ways that we can continue this part of the conversation. One's on Rocket Chat, and the other there are two Aries calls on Wednesdays U.S. time, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And we can continue this discussion there as well. So the purpose of this call is to kind of get some updates of different happenings that are happening in the respective groups. And we want to also leave time for Daniel to give a demo of the Aries Toolbox, which I think would be useful in answering some of these questions that are arising right now. And so we want to leave some good time for him. From the Aries calls this week, are there any particular updates that we should be aware of?
I can give summaries of both of those. The morning call this last week was about cooperation and working together on the various shared library components developing in Aries. And those are the ultimate answer to replacing the dependence on libindy. But they're growing in appropriate pieces as where the focus is. So there's a good discussions on that. And then in the afternoon call, we talked about an out-of-band protocol for establishing, abstracting the process of passing a message through something like a QR code in order to facilitate either creating a connection or the process of doing like an ephemeral challenge to have a short interaction that isn't really connection based. So we talked about that. We also had a really cool demo done by one of the Medici crowd that was demonstrating revocable or revocation for credentials inside of the Aries Cloud Agent Python. So the recordings for both of those are posted if you're interested in listening to those calls.
So I, on the afternoon call, when the out-of-band protocol was discussed, I was there for part of it and had to drop off for a bit. Is there an RFC related to that that we can point people to?
There will be shortly, Stephen.
Other Stephen,
you're muted.
Oh, shoot. I wasn't muted and I muted myself just to share this. I've got the RFC written. I need to do one more pass through it and then I'll submit it as a PR. So it'll be there probably end of day.
And we'll circulate that on the Aries channel as well.
You bet.
Okay, great. Thank you for that update. All right, any updates from Ursa? I don't see Mike on the call today. Last I heard, there was a recent release and those keep coming. If anyone else has any updates other than what's already in the meeting notes, I'd love to hear it. Otherwise, we'll move on. All right, any updates from Sovereign itself?
Yes, I placed in chat quite a few links. What seems to be happening is we've gotten to the point of enough interest globally in SSI to almost struggle to hang on to it. And so there were discussions about various grants that are available in the EU about the commitment transnationally about taking SSI to kind of the broader piece of the early adopter cycle. And I added a couple of links, but I wasn't sure if maybe I should kind of create a sub page for different things that come up as far as opportunities, events, grants, and things like that. I know that we're struggling a little to, struggle might be too strong of a word, but we're challenged a little bit to get enough people on committees now, because the people are that are on committees are now on lots of committees. And I think that people are wanting to really, I can only speak for myself, spend more time than we're currently spending coding. And so there are links there. I can also add a link to the minutes from the governance framework meeting, but there's just a heck of a lot going on, and I'm not sure how this group wants me to report out without talking for 15 minutes.
So that's a great overview. I know this is it's a good problem to have, that SSI is so popular. And I think a lot of what's happening in the EU with GDPR is driving that. So we're inevitably going to see things like grants and so forth that you mentioned. In this call, if you could help us with the highlights and maybe some, we'll put links in the meeting notes, for people to follow to get either to the other, Sovereign/Hyperledger meetings or others as you deem, important for us.
Okay.
It's a good problem to have, and this is getting quite a bit of attention. I'm hearing about SSI from a lot of my contacts that are not in this community, and I keep steering them here. It's increasing. Moving on. Let's see. Anything extra about DIDCOM or standards activities this week?
I'll give a quick summary there. To clarify a little bit about what I'm about to say, the DIDCOM sort of message foundational layer that we talked about began and was sort of incubated inside of the ARIES project with a fair amount of external interest. It has now expanded in scope, and there is the main working group for the DIDCOM stuff moving forward has been established at the Decentralized Identity Foundation, and that call is weekly on Mondays. This last time we talked about various aspects of the initial proposed content that there are several PRs in for, and the mechanics of how to handle sort of initial content that tend to be very large PRs, and so how to move sort of past and have more targeted PRs after those are accepted. So a little bit of discussion there, but really good conversation about routing and what that means, what the protocol should be like, and everything else. This is an effort to take what began in ARIES and make it a little bit more standard so that multiple projects can use that. The benefit there is that ARIES gains a wider sort of compatibility audience of messaging support across other projects. ARIES will continue to develop stuff internally in the meantime. We're not going to stop and pause, but we are looking forward for the next major leap to come out of that group instead of necessarily being directly incubated in ARIES. So those conversations are good. One of the reasons that it's at the Decentralized Identity Foundation, is IPR protection and the pursuit of a broad spec that is not code-based like ARIES. There are different legal requirements to protect the project from IPR concerns. And so those meetings are open. And I will, in a second here, paste in the chat the running agenda that where you can listen to the meetings that have been recorded and see what's on the agenda items. Joining and participating does have some IPR signing requirements because of those needs. But that work's going really well. We anticipate accepting some of those first initial PRs this week, and then talking about more specific details of those. So that's the status update.
Excellent. Thank you for that update. So if people want to use DIDCOM in their respective applications, would you recommend they attend ARIES, DIFF DIDCOM meetings, or both?
If you have interests or changes that you would like to see to the DIDCOM stuff moving forward, then definitely be involved in the DIFF DIDCOM working group. If you are interested in using sort of whatever and you don't have big opinions about it, then there's a lot more practical stuff going on in ARIES right now. And so it depends on whether you want to be involved in the details of it or not.
Excellent. Thank you. And for those that are new, I'd like to point out that Sam, who was just speaking, runs both groups. And so he's a good point of contact if you have questions on either the design or the implementation of DIDCOM.
And I've got that link in the chat too. I should add it to the wiki here. I'll do that.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Thank you everyone for all those updates. And at this point, I'm going to turn my screen over to Daniel Bloom from the Sovereign Foundation. They have put together what they call the ARES toolbox to show how to interoperate between agents and to do some testing and development. And so I'll turn the time over to Daniel to give a better explanation for that.
Cool,
Daniel,
thanks.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, I just All stopped right. the share, so feel okay. free to go ahead.
There we go, quick sound check, and you can see my screen, right?
Yes.
Okay. Alrighty. So we've actually done a lot of demos of the toolbox on ARES working group calls especially. So if you've seen a lot of this before, I apologize. But it does look like we've got a number of new people on the call today, so I'm happy to kind of get new eyes on this. With a lot of our demos in the ARES working group call, though, it's been very like incremental, I suppose. We've walked through this development process for a while. So today I kind of wanted to back up a little bit and give a little bit more introduction to what the toolbox is, our goals for the toolbox, and then kind of a current state demonstration at the end. So yeah, let's go ahead and jump into that. So the ARES toolbox, at least from our perspective right now, these are kind of our three main goals for it. Firstly being agent development tools. So just like with web development, we have our browser web dev tools that allow us to inspect pages, view the network connections, remote resources being downloaded, all that stuff. We really would like the ARES toolbox to be kind of analogous to those web dev tools, but for agent development. So being able to easily test new features of agents, inspect messages as they come and go, and really just make it easier to see what's going on in a world where messages are encrypted in transit, and so we can't very easily just open them up and look at them. Then secondly, we also intend it for use as an administration tool for cloud agents. So for example, the Sovereign Foundation has a cloud agent that we run. It's open, the rest of the world can interact with it. I guess I should note that it's kind of in like a development state right now, so don't expect it to like be super high availability or anything, but we wanted to be able to remotely administer that cloud agent from a variety of different users, I suppose. And so we decided to take advantage of the technology that we're building and use connections as our unit of control for who has access to administering this agent and the functions available to those connections. So for instance, somebody with an administrative role connection to the sovereign agent has the ability to create new invitations to use during trainings or demonstrations, or create new credential definitions or schemas from the sovereign DID, as well as issuing credentials. And then finally, we use it for demonstrations and trainings. The toolbox is really nice in that you can have one view side by side, or two views side by side, showing two different agents and show the interactions between the two. And so those are kind of our main goals for the toolbox. So to kind of define a little bit more exactly what the toolbox is, it is in fact an agent in that it establishes connections with other agents. It sends and receives DIDCOM messages, but it is limited in the sense that it doesn't actually connect to verifiable data registries. It has a limited key and connection management. It doesn't issue or present credentials itself. And it's got a narrow scope of protocols that we intend for it to support. to kind of enumerate exactly which protocols it does support, natively, I should say, I suppose, is the connection protocol, since it, of course, needs to connect to the agents that it's administering. Basic messaging, meaning the basic message, Aries RFC, if you're unfamiliar with that. And then feature discovery as a requester, so asking the agent it's connected to what features it supports rather than the toolbox itself reporting what it supports. However, vicariously or by proxy, the toolbox supports way more functionality through the use of connecting to a full agent. So through these vicarious protocols, I suppose, you have advanced connection management. You can interact with VDRs, ledgers, meaning you can write schemas, credential definitions, accept transaction author agreements, and issue and present credentials, as well as basic messaging, and more. So we intend the toolbox to be modular in the sense that you can add more functionality to it. And as long as your connected agent supports the protocol for that module, it can expand functionality in that manner. So to kind of revise the list of what is directly supported by the toolbox, we have those I listed before, but also various administrative protocols, which is the real heart of what makes the toolbox useful. So by itself, the toolbox is kind of boring, but paired with a full-on agent, we can do a whole host of things. So I'm going to demonstrate some of that. And what we'll be using to demonstrate is the toolbox by itself, but then the Aries Cloud Agent Python code base as our full agent. And we have a plugin attached to it, which enables a lot of the administrative protocols that the Aries Cloud Agent doesn't natively include. And that plugin can be found in the Aries ACAPI plugin toolbox repository underneath the Hyperledger organization. So for the direct communication to the protocols that ACAPI supports, such as connections and basic messaging, the toolbox is basically speaking directly to protocol handlers contained within ACAPI regularly. And then for administrative protocols, it's communicating with protocol handlers provided by the plugin, which reaches into ACAPI as needed. So open here, I have, I forgot to start that. Okay. So over here, I have an instance of the toolbox running already. You can see I have a couple of connections open to the sovereign agent, actually. I won't use these right now, but I'll open up a couple of other connections to agents that we'll use to demonstrate interactions. So running here in this terminal window, I have a Docker Compose setup. It's actually the same one contained in the plugin repository. And it actually will start up an Alice and Bob scenario. So two agents, one for Alice, one for Bob. And each of those agents are connected to the sovereign staging net for verifiable credentials exchange. So in order to start using the toolbox with these agents, we actually need to connect them. So this is a standard Aries connection that we need to form essentially between the two. So I'll copy out the invitation URL, which kickstarts the connection protocol. And there's our Alice connection. Pick out the one for Bob, paste that in. And there are our two connections. So I'll start off by opening a session to the Alice agent. And because we're connected to the sovereign staging net, which now requires the transaction author agreement, we actually need to accept the terms of this agreement before we are able to write to the staging net. Because we'll be using this agent as an issuer in a moment, we do need to accept that agreement. And you can look at more details of it, exactly what that entails on your own, I suppose. And the Sovereign Foundation has a lot of resources on exactly what that entails. And then I'll open up a connection to Bob as well. Since we'll be treating Bob more as a holder of credentials rather than an issuer, it's not important for us to accept the transaction author agreement, so I'm just going to skip it for now. So let's see. So we are now in a state where the toolboxes are connected to their respective agents. So just like our windows we have open here with Alice on the left, Bob on the right, and my diagrams got Alice on the left, Bob on the right. And so first off, we want to be able to connect the Alice and Bob agent to each other so we can start doing more interesting interactions through the toolbox with these two agents. Let's see. So we'll create an invitation from Alice's side, which will get us a new connection between the two. We can paste it into Bob's side. And we should now have our connection formed here. So this is the connections module of the toolbox, which allows us to inspect the connections that the corresponding pull agent has. So listed is the toolbox connection, which is kind of meta because that's the connection we're actually using right now to even inspect this information. But then we can also see the Bob connection and we can inspect some more of the details there. Now that we followed through that flow where we asked the agent to create an invitation, it passed it back to the toolbox, and then we sneaker netted it over to Bob's toolbox by just copying and pasting, and then telling Bob's agent to accept the invitation. We now have a connection that has been established between Alice's agent and Bob's agent. So I walked through that connection flow quite quickly. So if you're interested in more of the details of exactly what's going on there, you can look at the connection protocol RFC inside of the Aries RFC's repository. So now that these two are connected, we can start to instruct one agent to start talking to the other. So for instance, we can go to the messages and we can send a message to Bob, which then pops up on Bob's side as a nice notification. And then if we can also just show that until you actually open up the conversation, you'll continue to receive these notifications so you can know that you're receiving new messages. And then we can also respond to Alice on this side and we get our messages here. So the flow of messages is actually very similar for this messaging as it is in a lot of the other functions going on that cause Alice's agent and Bob's agent to interact. So I keep on going that way when I intend to go up. So I wanted to walk through again, kind of the flow of messages to demonstrate how these two are interacting with each other. So from the Alice's side, we type out our message and we said hi. And then what the toolbox is essentially saying is to the Alice agent, tell Bob's agent that I said hi, which Alice's agent then does. And then Bob's agent reports that it received that hi message from Alice to the toolbox. As part of Bob's agent being the actual recipient in this interaction, we kind of get the neat side benefit of, in the case that Bob's toolbox is offline, if Alice sends a message or instructs Alice's agent to send a message through the toolbox, and that message is sent to Bob, the next time that Bob's toolbox comes online, it can just request messages from Bob's agent for any messages it might have received while it was offline, and be able to inspect those messages. So that was kind of a big pile of information. Are there any questions before I proceed with the demo?
I'd like to mention here, this is Sam, the important interaction here is happening between Alice's agent and Bob's agent, and the toolbox is just acting as a user interface or a puppet stringing mechanism for the agents they're connected to. So the toolbox is only useful as it helps the Alice's agent do things from sort of a manual perspective. Not the real valuable thing is not the toolbox per se. Now we're demonstrating the toolbox, so it's a useful tool, but in the world of agent-agent interactions, what happens between Alice's agent and Bob's agent is really where all the magic happens.
So does the toolbox have its own DID? Because you said something about connecting, establishing a connection with the agent earlier.
Generates a peer DID, yeah. And the reason we do that is because it allows you to permission manage in a really nice way. For example, if you're an administrator for a company and there's maybe two or three of you, you can manage the connections. You know, you hire a new administrator, you can introduce that administrator to the various agents they'll be remotely administering. And then when someone's fired or quits, you can subsequently remove them as well. So it has its own identity for that perspective, but it's only useful from the perspective of connecting with the agent it's administering.
So it's not like a controller that
It's similar to the concept of a controller used by Akapai, except that controllers are really great for like automated things. And that's not really the purpose of the toolbox. The toolbox is designed to be sort of administrative task based things, not necessarily things that you would script. For example, you can if you wanted to create a new DID that's written to the ledger. That's, you're not going to do that 50 times a day. You're going to do that, you know, here or there as needed. And so the toolbox is a really useful thing for that. But as far as coming up with automated credential processing and everything else, the controller model is much more suited to that sort of task than the toolbox is.
Okay. And I'll kind of demonstrate another one of those scenarios where you don't do it very often, so it doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense to automate it. And that is actually with writing schemas and credential definitions as well. Generally, you don't do that every day. You kind of write your schema, you write your credential definition, and then you use that in the automated issuing of credentials to your connections. So that's actually one of the modules available in the toolbox. For use by agents that support the relevant protocol. So we can, since we're connected to the staging net and have agreed to the transaction author agreement, we can create our own schema here. I'll go ahead and just call it Alice ID, I suppose, and give it a version. We can include a couple of attributes that we want inside of our schema. So what's again happened is the toolbox asks the agent to write those pieces to the ledger and then return the result of that interaction. This has taken a while. Oh, I forgot a step. That's why. Okay. Another one of those things that Sam was talking about was getting our public DID written. Nobody look at my seed for my staging that DID. and then we'll say this is Alice public. So we need to have a DID written to the ledger, which has permissions to write to the ledger before we can create that schema. So sorry about that. I'll do that one more time. There we go. So there's our schema. We can again inspect some of the attributes of it. And then followed up by creating a credential definition for that schema. This takes a hot second. So rather than creating our own schema, we could also take a schema ID of a schema that's already been written to the sovereign staging net and plug it in and retrieve it, and then create a credential definition from that point if we wanted to as well. So now that we have our credential definition, we can issue a credential to Bob. Providing an optional comment, and then we fill out the values that we want to be in this credential. Say Bob's 40, I guess, and then confirm that. And so this is now, it's, as you can see, it's an offer sent state. So the credential is in the process of being exchanged between the two agents in the background behind the toolboxes. Now if we refresh that, we can see that it has now been act, meaning that it is now received by Bob. So we have our credential Alice ID version 0.2 issued to Bob, and on the recipient end, we can see that we received from Alice our credential. And again, we can inspect the values that we received in the credential. Then proceeding on, we can also verify a credential. So we can select our connection. We give it a proof request name, let's say testing, add an attribute. So this is the attribute, excuse me. So in Indie land, which this is heavily inspired by at this point in time, there is a difference between attributes and predicates. Attributes are attributes that will be revealed in full to the verifier, whereas predicates have the zero knowledge proof component. So we could ask for age and specify a greater than or equal to, and then provide a threshold. I'm pretty sure this actually is not working 100% right now, so I'm going to go ahead and take the predicate out. This is currently in a bit of a refinement process as we're gearing up for demos, but this should hopefully work. So I'll go ahead and request a presentation from Bob.
This is pretty cool.
Thanks. And so we have our presentation here. Okay, and the demo gods have not smiled on me today. We have an error that needs to be debugged, but that's generally how the flow would work. In ideal circumstances, this would come back as presentation verified, and we would actually have a verified attribute visible in this message that says whether the verification succeeded or not. But again, these are kind of functions that are intended more for demonstrating the flow of credentials exchange, and might be better suited to the controller scenario where you have an automated verifier of credentials being, or presentations being sent to it and so on. So we're about out of time, but are there any final questions before we end? I will make the slides that I used available inside of the agenda notes, and I will also link to each of the repositories that I mentioned as well, just to make sure that's available to everybody.
Excellent, Daniel. That was a very good presentation, demonstration of the toolbox. That helps everyone see how the communications take place and how to generate DIDs and claims and do all the things that we're talking about. And so Daniel will put a few links in the meeting notes today. I've put the general Aries Toolbox repo link in there. So all the source code for everything that you've just seen is available for you to download and play with. And so Daniel, thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you everyone for all of your comments and participation. For this call, we like to have summaries of the various working groups at the beginning, followed by a demo the last half. We will be meeting, our next meeting is in 2 weeks from today, at which time we will have a demo by Cam Parra from Kiva, and he will demonstrate the Kiva system and how it implements all the various components that we're discussing. So, thank you everyone for your participation, and I look forward to meeting with you again in 2 weeks.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.